I can sit there and draw and doodle for hours. And to me, art is the greatest form of expression. You can have structure, form, contrast, intensity. It can be warm and cozy. It can be cold and harsh. Art can express everything. Now, you can express motion, emotion, and capture every detail. The world of art is filled with great diversity. Yet the simple truth is that the artist is trying to get you to see something through their eyes, to capture a moment in time, or to tell a story. So why do I bring all this up? Some of the greatest artists, Picasso, Degas, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, all of whom were great, accomplished artists in their time, they pale in comparison to the greatest artist of all, which is our Father God. Now, God's art is all around us. If you couldn't figure it out, we are God's art. We come in many sizes, shapes, colors, and we act, talk, and believe differently. But we as a group are his best piece of artwork. If we go to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Put it simply, to me it makes sense that we're the best, you know. Not to sound conceited or anything, but, you know, we're his greatest art. Now, here lately I've been working with the youth, and we've been talking about being comfortable in your own skin. You be you is what I called it, and believe it or not, this kind of ties in a little bit too. One of our basic verses we've been going over here lately, it's from Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. "I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them." Now this is a very powerful scripture, letting you know that you are individually made by God, not some assembly line or anything like that, by the Creator himself. Even though there's millions of us, and we're growing every day, God still takes the time to handcraft each one of us. The artist takes each piece of work in his hands, tweaking and molding, shaping and smoothing out, and finally revealing it for the world to see. Now we're going to take a little trip back to art school real quick. Just because, yeah, like I said, I love art. Now, God is so good at what he does, he speaks it and it happens. But with an artist, it takes many trials before that final product comes out the way you want it. A potter is a great example of this. Now, has anyone ever used a potter's wheel? Okay, we have a very small number. But a potter's wheel it's an interesting piece of equipment. And to start on a potter's wheel, you get that thing spinning, and you take that big hunk of clay, and you smack it dab in the center. And you got to give a little force behind it so it kind of sticks right to it. And then you got to take your time, you got to sit there as it's spinning, you got to work it till it's centered on the wheel. Because if you don't, you're going to end up with a lopsided vase, and it's going to look funny. So then you start working that clay. You mold it, you pull it, you shape it, you push it, you make sure your sponge is wet, otherwise you're going to rip it right off, and then you got to start over. But the potter takes many trials and chances to get that pot just right. Heck, it takes a long time just to get that thing centered in the potter's wheel. So the potter is a great example of many trials to get that final project. Now, you could leave it, as you're working that pot, I mean, you could leave it thick, and that runs the risk of it popping and cracking when you go to fire it. Now, here's an odd question for you. How many Fords do you know of that Mr. Henry Ford himself got his hands in there and assembled for a person? I can't say it's too many, and then especially not anything new, because Mr. Henry Ford has passed away a while ago. But the Lord has worked on every one of us personally. He has taken the time to mold everyone. I have great news for you. The artist is not done with his work until you fulfill the call he has placed before you. So right now he is molding and tweaking, shaping and smoothing each and every one of us. How does he do it? Through trials. Through fellowship. If we go to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Now, after the artist forms a vase, it must be placed in the kiln to be fired and solidify the shape it is in, the shape the artist wanted. So your trials are the fire in the kiln that helps you take on the final form or calling the Lord has called you into. I have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So we are jars of clay to be filled by the Holy Spirit as often as possible. And with that filling, just overflowing of joy and love comes out. So as the great artist, we are the artwork. We are to reflect God. We are to reflect the artist, sharing the love of Christ through us, telling the story of the moment when God touched our lives to shape us and guide us down the path to become a final piece of art. So God's going to be working on all of us for a while till we're all nice, pretty, and shiny. But that's half the fun, because then you get to hang out with you guys and do all sorts of crazy stuff. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the last piece of scripture I have. This really went a lot faster than what I thought. But this is the beautiful thing of it. I also am a piece of clay being worked on by God. And this is a wonderful opportunity to share what God has done for me, through me, and with everyone here. My testimony. Where to begin with that?
Show us how God molded you.
Well, as a young man, well, I say young man, as a young man, I accepted Christ. My mother told me I was around 3 years old, and she looked at me. I told her, hey, I want to go up front, because I actually grew up in this church when it was New Covenant Church over on Franklin Street in Palmyra. And I told my mom, I want to go up front. She looked at me and goes, you know they're talking about asking Christ into your heart. I looked at her and said, yep, walked up front. So I was pretty bold as a little man. I didn't really care what anyone else thought. I grew up in a Christian household. My biological father left when I was around 1.5, 2 years old. And I lived with my grandparents and my mother and my aunt and my three sisters. So it was a very full house. And my grandparents, you know, helped instill that old, you know, Christian morals and, you know, you don't lie, you treat your parents good, and don't act like a crazed fool, that kind of thing. And around 7.5, 8 years old, my mom was blessed with a wonderful man who became my father. They got married, and we moved in to his house. And I actually switched churches then and started going to a church on Cherry Street. And there, the Lord was molding me to be a youth pastor at a young age. I started going to youth group and asking a whole lot of questions and getting involved with, Staff Parish Relation Committee. So I got to sit in with all the guys that made all the calls as far as what youth or what programs they were supporting and whatnot, and I'd give the youth perspective. And I had a great pastor there who supported me and let me try all sorts of different things with the youth and go out on mission trips and organize get-togethers at hotels and stuff. It's a youth annual conference, they called it. And it was a great time and a great time of growth in the spirit. I was on fire for God, you know. And my parents were very supportive. And this is a sore subject with my sisters, but the day I got my license, the next day I was in Philadelphia organizing one of those youth functions. And my sisters weren't allowed to leave Palmyra, so they get a little upset about that. I like to point that out every once in a while. My dad's response was, he's a boy, he can take care of himself. But I had the Lord with me the whole time. All the trips I made to Philadelphia, I never ran out of gas, never got a flat tire, never got into an accident. And the Lord worked mighty in a group of kids organizing a function for other kids. And that is actually the first place I shared my testimony. I was born with asthma. It was one of the worst cases in the state of Pennsylvania as of 1981. They told my mother I would be 4'9" if I'm lucky and right around 100 pounds. They were a little off. And honestly, the only reason I can say that I'm here is through prayer and the hand of God. Because there's many times where I scared the living, you know what, out of my mother because I'd stop breathing, or she'd also scare the pants off of me because she thought I stopped breathing. She would put a mirror under my nose to see if it would fog up, and if it didn't, it'd be, ah! So then you got a kid screaming his head off. But it worked out for the best. Here I am, obviously. At the age of 17, for some reason, and the only reason I can think of is God was leading me to meet my wife, I joined the Army. I served for 4 years as a diesel mechanic. I blew out my knee in Germany, running sprints and playing basketball. It was a little painful. But it all worked out to the point where, as the Army was getting ready to go to Iraq, I got my shots. I was working on getting my uniforms. They came and told me, hey, guess what? Your knees are bad. You're getting out. And at the time, I was a little conflicted because I wanted to go. That's the reason I signed the papers. I was a corporal. I was in charge of 6 soldiers. They were my soldiers, and I wanted to be there to lead them. And they told me I couldn't. So that bugged me for a little while. But as I look back on it, it was just the hand of God working to get me where he needed me to be. Now, through the Army, I met my wife. Her brother, who was my roommate in Germany. And it all happened one day. He had to use the restroom. He said, here, talk to my sister. Handed me the phone. And I was like, hi, I'm Tony. It's like, hi, I'm Michelle. And didn't really say too much after that. And then my brother-in-law came out of the bathroom and he got the phone back. But as time went on, he would call home and she would say to him, hey, is that guy there? You mean Tony? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, can I talk to him? Sure. So we started using up my brother-in-law's phone minutes every weekend, talking for hours until the phone either died or we ran out of minutes. So I think it worked out for the best. I have a wonderful wife and 3 crazy, awesome little boys. And the Lord has blessed me every day of my life. And through all of this, I still did art. Everything. I love oil pastels. I have a set of oil pencils, which makes blending colors really easy. I've done acrylic paint, oil paint. I love to draw. Shading is my thing. I like making it look realistic without color. So having a black and white or gray, whatever you want to call it, picture to look as realistic as it can. Now, my art teacher always used to poke fun at me because I couldn't draw a straight line with a ruler. And everything I drew was a little dark. I didn't see little blocks of white all over the place as reflections or highlights. So I didn't draw them. But through God's grace, I guess I lightened my colors up a little bit. Maybe I'm a happier man. Art has always been a release for me. It's always been able to wipe that stress away. You know, you can pray and color. It's always a good time. And even now, my children, they'll come in and say, hey, Dad, let's color. And some nights, it's a long day at work. It's like, ah, all right. We'll break out the coloring books and start coloring. Granted, it's not creating the masterpiece like Van Gogh or anything, but it's still art. And I've done clay. I know all about that potter's wheel. It took me a while to get that piece of clay centered. And I have made a few pots, and some of them are kind of odd-shaped. But it is a great experience. It's fun. It's messy. You slop stuff all over the place. And as I was typing this up, all I could keep seeing is God's hands working that clay. You know, the slurry running all over the place, all the tools, the hands working that clay to shape people's lives. And it's evident every day. As you look at people, you know, sometimes you see people down in the dumps, you know, that maybe they walked away from that potter's wheel. And, you know, all you can do is, you know, inject a little of God's love in their life. Invite them back to the potter's wheel so they can get worked on if they need it. And My story is still going on. You know, my wife and I painted the sign out front. That was a great endeavor. We couldn't figure out which way we wanted to go with it, you know, what colors to use. And I am the, I don't want to say rigid, but I'm the, like, perfectionist as far as form and function. It's got to look right. And my wife is the abstract. She does everything however she feels. And my wife is very artistic also. So as early on in our marriage, she would sit there as I was deployed or whatever. She would draw pictures. And to me, it's crazy. There's little thin lines drawn all over the place, just different colors, repeated in a pattern and all sorts of stuff. And I would look at it, and she goes, I was doodling. I'd look at it and go, I couldn't do that with a roller. Every line was just so perfect and straight, and it just blew my mind. It would take me forever to do something like that. But I can sit there and sketch out a comic book character in just a few seconds. And she looks at me and goes, that's crazy. I mean, we are all gifted so differently. And it's the little forms and motions that God's put into our clay pot of life that change our direction and help form who we are and the likes and dislikes we have. And it's just, as I look back, I can see God's hands in my life. You know, I got an awesome father after one decided he didn't want to be part of my life. I had awesome grandparents. My grandma Orlando, love her. She'd smack me, tell me I'm getting fat, and then tell me to come in the kitchen and eat some food. So, she was a trip, and she was always so warm and caring, and she loved to talk. I got some great uncles, you know, my father's brothers. We don't always see eye to eye. I have an uncle who likes Chevys. I'm a Dodge fan. It's just the way we are. We don't have any Ford fans in the house yet, but Aiden might be trying to prove me wrong on that. Oh, yeah. I'm a Dodge fan. But, you know, the whole time I can see God putting people in place in my life to mold me where I need it molded, to push me where I need it pushed, and to guide me where I need it guiding, and to just drop God's love into my heart and surround me in it all the time. Now, while I was in the Army, I was on fire for God, and they sent me to a different country. I was in Germany for 2 years. On fire for God and no outlet. I could talk to people. They'd look at me like I'm crazy. Like, who, what, where? They did, what? No. You've been drinking something. No, not yet. I was on fire for God and ready to go and nowhere to put it. I backslid away from God. You know, it started to get easy to stop talking about it. You know, it started to get easy to go hang out with, you know, your buddies, play video games. I drank. I was in Germany. I mean, that's, you know, young kid, Germany, you do the math. You know, it's a license to drink. And I took advantage of it. Not the proudest moment in my life, but it got me where I am. I went through it, and the Lord watched me through it the whole time. Never got in trouble, never did anything really stupid. The Lord was with me, even though I didn't really look for him. And right before I left Germany, this young man, Specialist Moody, knocked on my door, said, hey, how's it going, brother? Good. What are you doing? I'm here to invite you to come to church. Really? There's a church around here? Yes, there is. Why don't you come with me on Sunday? I don't know. I got this whole sleeping thing to do. Well, you come with me. We don't start till 10 o'clock. You'll have plenty of time to sleep. All right. I knew the Lord was working on me. He was giving me that nudge in the clay, saying, hey, you, you're not where you need to be. And I went. And the Lord was working on me the whole time I was there. And they would get up and have an altar call and say, hey, those of you who have fallen away from God, come on up. We'll pray for you. Get you back right with God. And I'd stand there and just stare up at them like, man, when is this going to be over? I got some sleeping to do back in the barracks. And that, you know, that God, he's persistent. He kept nudging me. And one Sunday, I went up there and we prayed and, you know, started letting God back in my life. And left Germany. Got to Louisiana. Whew. You think it's muggy here? Go there. It's awful. You get a shower, you sweat while you're showering. You don't know if you washed your hair or not because it's just wet. So it was an interesting time in Louisiana. I bought a plane ticket for my wife to come to Louisiana. And then we got hitched. My mother didn't let me forget that for quite a while because we did it in Arizona. I had a very short time frame to do it. And we went out to Arizona with Michelle's mother and got married. And my mother kept telling me, you know, I didn't get to see your wedding. I know, Mom. I will make it up to you. Don't worry. So my wife and I actually renewed our vows last year. And my mother got to see everything. And it was a great time. I thank God every day for my wife and kids because they are such a blessing. My wife keeps me in line. But sometimes she can be just as crazy as I am. My mother wonders how we work because we are very much alike. And I can just say, God bless me. But he's, down south, you know, didn't really hook up with the church again. So he's kind of out there floating. Knew God loved me, no question about that. But we came back up to Pennsylvania after they told me my knees were shot and they medically discharged me. So came up to Pennsylvania, found a house, you know, had started having kids. And we just kind of sat there one day and looked at each other and said, hey, we got to find a church. You know, I want my kids to know about God. I want them to experience the love and kindness and everything that I experienced as a young child and into my teens as a young man. And wouldn't you know, my mom stepped in and said, hey, let's go up to that church on the hill. You know, that used to be Harvey's church. Okay, we'll go. We came in, you know, saw Pastor Doug, Pastor Fiona, and it's like, okay. They started jumping around, hooting and hollering. It's like, wow, this is a little different. You know, had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder for a little bit. Yeah. And Pastor Doug, we came to membership class, and they sat us down and talked to us. And they're like, hey, what's going on? Let's talk. Where are you coming from? What are you thinking? Well, we're having kids. We want them to be involved with God's people. Okay. Well, he took everything we said, you know, didn't judge us, didn't condemn us, didn't call us crazy kooks or nothing. And there was the Lord working that clay, rounding it off, smoothing it up, stretching it out. And I've always had a passion for youth. It never left. That's our future generations. That's the future of our country. That's the future parents. And if they get a good dose of God, a good dose of the Holy Word, then it'll help mold and shape them, God working on that clay, so that they can be good leaders, great parents, and just wonderful people. And I've always had that yearning to be with the youth. And Pastor Doug saw this. The Lord put it on his heart, and he asked me to come help out with the youth. And I did. And I think it was for maybe a year, year and a half. I would just kind of sit in the background and help get through lessons and stuff. And, you know, and he's like, hey, Tony, guess what? Yeah, Pastor Doug, you're giving the next lesson. Really? Yep, God put it on my heart. It's time. You're going to give the next lesson. Okay, I guess I'll do it. And gave the lesson, sat up and prayed a lot, and started writing and put down whatever the Lord put on my heart. And I came to youth group the next meeting and shared, and the kids were asking so many questions, blown away. It's, holy Lord, how do I answer all these? And one at a time, that's all I can say. And it took a lot of trust and just the Holy Spirit for Pastor Doug to say, here's the keys, drive the Cadillac. So we had a few more times, and he came to me and said, I think we're going to make you our youth pastor. And I'm like, phew, you sure? I'll do it. I love it. But, man, that's a big responsibility. You got the heart for it. God said, you know, go for it. You know, and there he was molding that clay. And ever since, I think it's been at least a year, I've been in charge of the youth. And we've had great times and a whole lot more questions and a whole lot of laughs. And the whole time, just looking back from wee little toddler to grown man, father and youth pastor, I can just see, even though the times where it's been tough, and at the time I didn't think God was around, or, you know, maybe he forgot about me, or I look back now and I can see where those hands were holding that clay pot and molding it, saying, just a little bit more, Tony, we're going to smooth you out. And the Lord does it with everybody, and it's an amazing thing. And being an artist, I can see some of it, especially with the youth. I've seen a whole lot of growth and a whole lot of spiritual understanding that you don't expect from kids, especially today. And I can just see those hands work in the clay or the brush strokes going on the canvas. And it's just an amazing thing being an artist and a youth pastor to see that happening right before my eyes. So I just want to thank you and just take pleasure in the fact that we are all wonderfully made by the Creator. So, if anyone would like a little bit of prayer, I'd be glad to do it for you. Beautiful day, and bringing us here together as a family to share and fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's been here, that it has spread across the church here, Father God. Lord, we come to you with some prayer requests. Father, we pray for restoration and peace, Father, for the man who has recently passed away at Dennis's work, and that